Time to get caught up on the business of the city parish. Time to welcome back to the studio Metro Councilman Dwight Hudson. Dwight, what's happening, man?
Hey, doing good, Brian. Good morning to you.
Get you moved on around there.
There we go. Yeah,
that's absolutely much better. There we go. Y'all been busy.
Oh, yeah. I've been a busy couple months.
So, admittedly, when the legislative session is in, it's like all my attention focuses over there, and I promise to do a better job this year of making sure we stay up to speed on everything going on with the city as well. And y'all have just been so, from the LSU arena thing to there's changes to the plan of government.
Yeah, that's a big one. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. To the mayor's getting her own attorney. The parish attorney's moving on to the Supreme Court, our state Supreme Court. And you got some stuff going on with ExxonMobil and their potential future tax dollars. I tell you what, let's start with the plan of government, because I feel long term that's going to affect us the most. What changes went through with the city parish plan of government?
You know, so I think the major changes that the community is going to be most excited about, certainly I'm most excited about, are a move from a chief administrative officer type of governance, if you will, to a city parish manager. So what does that look like?
Yeah.
Essentially, the way the amendments work is that we're creating some professional standards for our city parish manager position. So we'll move from a CAO to a city parish manager. That person will need to have those professional credentials in order to qualify for the position. And then whenever that person is selected by the mayor's office, they'll need to be confirmed by the Metro Council. So it essentially creates some buy-in, sort of a check and balance, if you will, between the two different positions of government. Get some buy-in around who's going to manage, how our city parish will be managed. The biggest thing is those professional standards, though, in my opinion. I had the chance to go to the National League of Cities here recently, and as I went around and talked to all these different city council persons, mayors from around the country, one of the things that you found was that the municipalities that were managed the best were managed by a city parish manager, somebody that had gone professionally, learned how to run a government, and was now doing it.
Okay, so what, the devil's going to be in the details here, so what is the difference between a CAO and a city manager?
Well, really, it's those professional standards, right?
Okay, so what are the professional standards?
Yeah, so they need to have a degree, an advanced degree. They can also be an attorney. But they need to have some experience in running a large organization or a large municipality. And so that's really the key, is that, you know, you've actually got the experience to do the job.
Okay, so if I'm reading you right here, and this person, whoever it is going to come from out of town.
No, not necessarily. I mean, we certainly have business folks. We have other folks that have run those size organizations here. So I don't think it's necessarily true that we're not asking for a specific credential from a credentialing organization, right? There's a couple different ways you can do it. But you do need to have some professional experience in running large organizations or municipalities. And that's hopefully going to bring us some depth to the position. Somebody that has the ability to go in and tackle the big issues that we're facing every day.
Well, so, you know, everything's a sports analogy with me, right?
Absolutely.
So you don't get to be defensive coordinator at LSU until you've been defensive coordinator at a mid-major, right? You got to have something on your resume showing you can handle the gig before you take on the big gig. I think this elevates us to saying we are a big gig.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah, we're you know, we've got nearly 500,000 people here in this parish. We've got a lot of issues to tackle, and so we want someone qualified for that position. And that's what this change does. It also puts into the plan of government the chief of staff position and really defines that role. So what we found over the years is that there can at times, depending on who's in office, be a disconnect between the council and the mayor's office. That chief of staff position really is there to organize the mayor's staff, but also to serve as a conduit between the mayor's office and the Metro Council. To make sure we're all on the same page and we're all being kept abreast of what's happening in the administration.
Well, I feel like that's what the CAO was supposed to be anyway. So this would be a better defining of that role.
Right. So the idea was hopefully the CAO would do that, but they didn't always do it, right?
Right.
So, that's a key.
And the chief of staff still, I mean, I know you're on the Metro Council, so you would see that relationship with the Metro Council, but the chief of staff would still work for the mayor.
Absolutely.
Whereas the city manager or city parish manager works for the city parish at the pleasure of the mayor.
That's right.
It's not, it, it's, it's not as directive or responsible or directive of, you know, chain of command.
That's right. And I should clarify that on that city parish manager position, the mayor still has the authority. They still report to the mayor.
Right.
If the mayor wants to fire that person, she can still do it. You know, she still retains all that authority. And so I you know, I think it'll be a very good thing.
Well, no, yeah, the mayor could fire that person, but that person answers to all of us. They're not working for the mayor.
Correct.
They're working for the city parish.
That's
so
right.
It's an important clarification to be sure. The mayor's getting her own attorney?
Yeah, so you touched on it already, but executive counsel for the mayor's office. So we've seen through a couple of different iterations. I think probably the biggest one was the stormwater debacle, if you will. you know, situations.
Wait. Are we allowed to talk about that, or is the NDA still in effect?
I never signed the NDA, so I can talk about it all I want, brother.
So for those that don't know, the whole debacle over the stormwater fee was that there was this ghost non-disclosure agreement that may or may not have, but definitely did not exist. And it jammed up all the works with what could have been a better faith negotiation to pay for stormwater and drainage.
Right.
So
right.
Anyway, that was the backstory on that. But so the mayor's getting her own attorney.
Right. The mayor will get her own attorney. And, you know, so avoid some of those conflicts that can happen whenever the council and the mayor's office differ on positions that require legal advice and that kind of thing. And so I think that's important, right? You know, regardless of who the mayor is, they need to have good legal advice. They need to have unbiased legal advice. They don't need to be worried about the politics associated with, you know, trying to get information from a legal representative that is also beholden to a different branch of government. And so I think that's important.
So where does and I know the new chief of police has not run into any legal questions just yet, but who would represent the chief of police in, let's say, future Brave Cave cases?
The parish attorney still represents the parish.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, the parish attorney would still...
Well, because this is another one where legal representation has come into question before.
Right, right. Now, we do still have that contract for outside legal representation, mm-hmm. specifically on the Brave Cave items. The chief is still relying on that outside counsel. What he has told the Metro Council, however, though, is that he's going to start kind of slowly transitioning back to having his legal representation mostly run through the parish attorney's office, which I think is a good move. I think ultimately would save us a lot of money. But I'll tell you, on the last thing on the, two more things on the plan of government amendments, the thing I'm most excited about being the budget nerd on the Metro Council is we'll be moving the budget presentation from November 5th to October 15th, and then moving the adoption date from December 15th to December 31st.
Oh, thank goodness.
Essentially give us another month to digest that budget, possibly make changes, give the public a chance, and it won't be so burdensome trying to read the budget, debate it, and vote on it a month during the holiday season, right?
1,000%. So no, okay, so apparently I'm a budget nerd too, then, if that's what qualifies. Yeah. Because, no, if you're voting on the budget, if you're finalizing the budget on December 15th, how much are you compromising on your own principles and what your voters sent you there to do simply because you're ready to be done for Christmas, done for the year?
Yeah, it happens, right? Yeah. It does. I mean, it's just a reality.
Well, because you got your own job you have to clean up for the end of the year too.
That's
so,
correct.
Yeah, this is a good move.
Yeah. And then, you know, one thing I want to make sure and mention, because I know it'll be a part of the debate, is that the way council members are paid will also be in this plan of government amendments.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the plan of government states that council members make $1,000 per month.
Yeah.
That was originally set back in 2007.
Okay.
And so what we're doing is taking that provision, essentially taking that provision out of the plan of government and handling it the way we handle pay for all the other constitutional offices, and saying that it will be set in the term prior to the next term. So essentially, recently we voted for the pay for the mayor's office and for the constable, and we did that for the next mayor and constable, right? So we'll do that now.
Okay, so when the headline reads Metro Council's getting a pay raise, is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate, although ultimately that may be what happens, transparently.
Right.
It just depends on, you know, we could, ultimately the plan of government changes only say that it will no longer be in the plan of government.
Mm-hmm.
But you could, I essentially think you will at some point see an item changing Metro Council pay.
Sure.
And look, our ourselves as Metro Council members will be on the same ballot as these plan of government amendments. And that was really important to us, right? I mean, if we're going to vote for this, if we're going to ask you to have a vote on it, we're going to endorse it. We want to put ourselves right there and say, hey, you get to vote on us at the same time, right? I will tell you, as a Metro Council person, I'm going to run for re-election regardless of what happens to the pay. But if we want to attract good candidates, if we want to fairly compensate people for the time that it takes away from your family, your business, all the other things you got going, $1,000 a month doesn't cut it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it is the full-timest, the most full-time of part-time jobs out there, to be sure. We got Metro Councilman Dwight Hudson for about two more minutes. Okay, outside of your district, but definitely one you're going to hear a lot about in the coming days and months, the new proposed LSU arena. In our last minute and a half, your thoughts on what has transpired and what's to come?
Yeah, I think we made a good move. You know, there's been a lot said about protecting the River Center, making sure that we don't mess up that investment, if you will. Ultimately, I think what we saw was you've got two large government institutions that got together and said, hey, let's figure out the highest and best use for our properties, and let's not compete with each other. And that makes total sense, right?
Right.
The highest and best use for LSU is to have an arena where we can track big concerts, handle all the LSU events. Highest and best use for the River Center is a marquee convention center hotel.
Yes.
And so, look, I'm excited about that. I think we've got some more steps to take on the River Center. Mm-hmm. I think in very short order, you will see an economic development district for the River Center so we can attract that hotel to us.
Yeah.
And we just, the main thing is we can't sleep on that. You know, we've had this tendency to have plans and stick those plans up on a shelf and not do anything. Mm-hmm. The time to act on that is now, because we know the LSU arena is coming down the pike.
He is Metro Councilman Dwight Hudson. I appreciate you coming in for a couple minutes this morning.
Anytime, Brian.
Thank you. 8:50. Here's Your Money Now coming up on Talk. We got one more segment to go. We'll have the outside in after we take the break. But right now, here's Your Money Now on Talk 107.3.